Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
Welcome to the Social Network Show. Like us, you may be hoping for a turnabout in online civility. And we do see some positive changes, young and not so young people promoting bystander defense of those bullied online. Today, though, you will hear from Jane Hitchcock about the current state of affairs, especially in school-age youth. As a noted cyberbully and cybercrime expert, as well as president of WHO, Working to Halt Online Abuse, and WHO KTD, that's the Kids Teen Division, Jane has consulted for books, articles, and brochures on cyber safety. Her websites are haltabuse.org and haltabuseKTD.org for the Kids Teen Division. She is a volunteer consultant for more than 10 police and state police departments and the U.S. Department of Justice Office for Victims of Crime. Jane Hitchcock is also an author with 9 books to her credit, including True Crime Online and Net Crimes and Misdemeanors, in addition to many feature articles for periodicals. Her nom de plume is J.A. Hitchcock. Makes me think of, do you have a plume? Have you will find details at jahitchcock.com. And she wrote from at least the age of 8. Welcome back to the Social Network Show, Jane.
Well, thank you for having me back.
Welcome back, Jane. And for you, you're a special person to me because of all the hard work you do in an area that's so difficult to even think in terms of, at least for me, the layman, the crime scene out there and how dark it is sometimes. So I never forget how you and the Cyber Crime Dog do what you do. And will you give my best to the Cyber Crime Dog, please?
Oh, I will. I'll give her a special treat just from you.
Oh, that's great. And one of the things I want to mention is that there's a context that when I think of you, not so much your creative side, but the hard work you're doing to help fight crime and even now take a bite out of crime with our other dog, McGruff has joined us, et cetera. Basically, I remember back when, a couple of years ago, I want to say almost 3 years ago now, I think, give or take, I was reading online and I read, I believe it was in Crime Insider. That's one of the network publications. And I read an article that changed my life. And it was basically an article saying that it was talking about some of the cyberbullying out there. In particular, it was Rehtaeh Parsons and Audrey Pott. And they were interviewing it was a brilliant interview. And the lady that was interviewing was talking to Danielle Citrin, the lawyer who's been working on crime, et cetera. Danielle mm-hmm. Citrin's book, Hate, Crimes in Cyberspace, basically, and what stopped me, stunned me, gave me a chill were the words, it's getting worse. And that really led to not only meeting you and Carol Todd, who on the 10th is the second year anniversary of her daughter's death. And it led to all our work with cyber bullying and cyber crime. And so it's a special day. So in a way, a special time for us as we keep on working on this difficult area, in this difficult area. So can you tell us what's the state of affairs now? Is it getting worse?
It definitely is. It's something that I've said over the past few years, the more that kids and teens get online, and if they're getting younger, they're doing that, especially with the pads and the tablets, that you're going to see more and more of this happen. And I actually wrote a blog post for, we have Maine crime writers, and I wrote, my last blog post was about the fact that over the summer you hardly heard anything, and then as soon as school started, all of a sudden the media all over the world were talking about cyberbullying cases and sexting and all internet predators and all of this going on, and it just seems to me that it's kind of ballooned, especially this year for whatever reason.
Let me just interject one thing, okay? As you know, we work on this constantly, and we know you're involved and the other experts that we bring in. Where are the best stats on this dark cloud? I mean, where can we go to find, do you think, in your professional opinion, that we can get the very best information? Because I'd like to really know, you know?
I think I could answer that. It's not Jane's site. Whoa.
No, I mean, that's good. I mean,
well,
look.
That's more for adults, though, adult cases. As far as, like, kids and teen cases, UNH or the University of New Hampshire has done some studies. And if you just do a Google search, I think it was the Pew Internet Research Project recently did something as well.
Okay.
Or within this past year. And just do a search, you know, for that, and you could probably find them. But I don't think anybody has really done a comprehensive study yet. It's so hard to, you know, quantify it. What do? You do it just based on U.S. kids, based on certain countries? You know, it's one of those things where, you know, if we did it here in the U.S., then other countries are going to say, well, that's the United States kids. You know, that's not our kids. And so it's just really so hard because the Internet is international, and when you're looking at it from that viewpoint, it's hard to quantify and qualify statistics.
Well, and the reason that I'm so avid about that point is because working in crisis intervention for almost 20 years like I did, the one thing that threw everyone off balance or into apathy, not caring, or complacency, not caring in some level, was that if they heard that it was getting better. You know, so people, I mean, I just want to get my, as close as I can, get my facts straight, say, no, we need to deal with this. This is urgent, and it's getting worse. That's the reason I'm always looking for those kinds of things. I mean, I know I saw a special on the late night news. What was it? Brian Williams, I believe, on the news, suicide among college students, the second highest cause of death. Blew my mind when they showed a vivid picture of a girl who's dealing with that with 1,100 backpacks on a campus.
Mm-hmm. With the story of each person attached to each backpack.
Yeah, well, and you have to remember when they do these studies, they're also doing it from the year before or 2 years previous.
Right.
Which is not showing you what is actually going on now. The best way to see what is going on is go into Google News and type in cyberbullying, type in sexting, type in suicide plus internet, and you'll get a better view of how it really has grown and how it is getting worse. And it's scary. It's because a lot of these kids and teens who are the bullies feel that they will remain anonymous, you know, creating false profiles, false accounts, getting free email addresses from Yahoo and Hotmail and Google, and they don't realize that it can and will be traced right back to them.
Well, that will be a good point in terms of getting a handle on who the perpetrators are. But you mentioned sexting, and I wanted to comment that when we had Dr. Elizabeth Englander from Bridgewater State University in Massachusetts on last, she mentioned that she had started doing some research on that and was amazed that there had been virtually no research that she could locate on the whole issue of sexting. And when she did her first study on it, what she turned up was how much of it was under coercion. Some peer pressure, you know, if you want to go out with me, you know, I need to know, you know, send me a photo or that sort of thing. And that is really a sexual harassment. So it gets into, you know, that is one thing that the little research that's been done on sexting has turned up.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, and you see it mainly with girls taking the provocative photos and sending it to their boyfriends. It's not that they're being coerced, it's they want to send it as a little present. And then, you know, it gets passed on because, you know, the boyfriend's like, "Woo, my girlfriend's hot." And he says, "I'm not sure this with my friends." And that's when it gets out of control. And when I just did a talk last week to a class of sophomores here in Maine, and I was showing them, you know, I pulled local stories from New England to show them this is happening here, and this is what happens. And because you guys are all under the age of 18, this is technically child pornography. Mm-hmm. And I show them what the state levels are for fines and for prison and the federal levels if you get arrested. And there are kids and teens under the age of 18 that are getting arrested and they are getting charged as child, you know, predators. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where, you know, the kids are innocent up to some point, but on the other hand, depending on the case, you know, and that's what it comes down to, I think that the penalties are a bit harsh for, you know, kids and teens are under the age of 18, unless, you know, there are extenuating circumstances.
Right. It is a complex situation.
Yes.
And I'd like to ask you more about how what has been happening so far in this school year. So let's take that up in our next segment.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
This is the story of Mrs. Clark, who has lived on this very block most of her 80 years, often seen walking to town or serving brownies to the neighborhood kids, and everyone loves her. 2 years ago, a certain family member moved in to look after Mrs. Clark, and that's when everything changed. Mrs. Clark became the victim of elder abuse.
Elder abuse is often closer to home than you think, or want to believe. McGruff the Crime Dog here. The National Crime Prevention Council wants you to know the signs of elder abuse. Bruises, isolation, reduced activities, poor hygiene, depression, and financial problems. Protect yourself and speak out if you recognize signs of abuse in others.
Elder abuse is a crime that affects over 2 million senior citizens every year. Even more astounding, it's most commonly committed by a family member or someone they trusted. If you suspect abuse, contact your local law enforcement agency. To learn more, go to www.ncpc.org. That's ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the U.S. Department of Justice.
Now, back to the Social Network Show.
Welcome back to the Social Network Show, where Jim and I are talking to Jane Hitchcock, President and CEO of Working to Halt Online Abuse, and her website is haltabuse.org, and for kids and teens, haltabuseKTD.org. Jane, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And the... You had mentioned some interesting things going on now, a new form, well, I don't know how new it is, but one form of cyber harassment in connection with online gaming, particularly among teen boys. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, this is just, I think, come around the last couple of years, and just this past few months, you've seen more and more of it. Where it's called swatting, and basically what happens is if somebody's playing one-on-one with someone else, or they're a group of them, and the one boy wins and the others lose, sometimes one of the losers gets really upset and decides to pull a, and I'm putting this in quotes, a prank, by calling 911 and claiming that at the winner's house there's either a murder about to happen, a home invasion, a robbery, there's a meth lab or something, to get the police. And sometimes even SWAT teams, you know, sometimes, you know, FBI, you know, ends up at this winner's house, and they're totally stunned to find it. And just, I believe it was last month, there was this one 14-year-old boy had done this because he was very mad because he lost his game. And it was quite the police presence at the winner's house. And he is now a felon, and he's going to jail. He's going to federal prison for 12 years. And kids and teens don't realize that. They think it's funny, but when you do something like that and all of the money that is involved in getting that kind of law enforcement response, they don't think of it that way. They think of it just as getting back at the winner.
Uh-huh. Well, I would say that was a poor loser in to the max. Can you tell us something in regard to how parents can keep an eye out for signs of cyberbullying, either that their kids are victims or the bullies?
Yeah, I would think that as far as being a victim, the biggest thing is, you know, if your child is not as communicative as they usually are, if you're not hanging out with friends, if all of a sudden they're on their cell phones or their smartphones constantly, and, you know, you walk by and they hide it from you, because more kids and teens are using their smartphones and tablets more than they are computers. Mm-hmm. And that's the one big thing that parents have to keep an eye out for. And if they are, it's time to sit down and have a talk with them, especially if they, like, put their smartphone in their hoodie pocket, you know, or something like that, try and hide it from their parents. There's something definitely going on. And the other thing that I advise parents to do is you have to set down the rules for your children. As long as they are living under your roof, and they don't have a job, they're not paying for their own internet service, their phone, their tablet, or whatever it is, you have every right to set the rules that when they go to bed, they hand over their devices to you, and you put them in a safe place and then give them back to them in the morning, because there's nothing that is that important where I hear stories of kids being up at 2 or 3 in the morning texting mm-hmm. their friends. I mean, there's no reason for that. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things where parents have to stop being friends and have to be parents with their kids and set down rules, keep to them, you know, and even consider using monitoring software. It's not spying on the child. It's keeping an eye on what they're doing, so that if all of a sudden your child is not picking up at the dinner table as they used to, you can at least go and check out the software and see, okay, well, who are they getting texts from? Who are they getting messages from? What's going on Snapchat or Facebook or whatever they're doing.
Right, and there's no reason why that should not be discussed and revealed. It's not like the parent has to go quietly and surreptitiously spy. They can let their children know, this is what I'm going to do because I am concerned. And also the whole idea of just talking about, you know, how is this a big deal among your friends or school mates? You know, I mean, maybe they don't want to admit that their friends are involved, but what's the feeling at your school about cyberbullying or about sexting and so forth? And just having those neutral conversations can be a big help.
That is the biggest thing, is that parents have to let their kids know that they are there to listen to them. If their kids, you know, have any concerns about something going on at school, maybe it's to a friend, you know, maybe it is them, or, you know, maybe they clicked on a link and went to a porn site. Kids and teens want to be able to talk to their parents, but they're afraid to, because they're afraid if they admit something's going on, that they're the ones that are going to be punished. And parents have to reassure the children and say, why would I punish you? It's not your fault. You need to let me know what's going on so that we can nip it in the bud before it really explodes into a worse situation.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I wanted to ask you about was what's going on with Halt Abuse, your organization, and, you know, what's new in your world?
Well, for Halt Abuse, you know, that's for adults 18 and over, that we help online victims anywhere in the world. because, you know, again, the internet is international, so you can't just say, okay, only people from the USA can come to us for help. I actually had some guy email me and say, do you help Canadian victims? I go, of course we do. We help anyone, you know, in the world. And we help, you know, online stalking harassment victims. And then the kids and teen division, we provide not only free help and keep them anonymous if they're under the age of 18, but we also have a lot of resources on the site and give them options on how to try to resolve it. The first one we tell them is talk to their parents or another adult. If they don't feel comfortable with that, they can come to us and fill out our questionnaire. If they don't feel comfortable with that, they can contact Phoebe the Cybercrime Doc. She has her own page. She has a Facebook page. You know, she has a Twitter account. You can contact her. If you're not comfortable with that, we have Uncle Jim. He's a Jim Mayer. He's the bass player for the Jimmy Buffett Band, and then his other life, as he calls it. He does work with kids and teens.
Uh-huh.
And then there's also another one. It's called schooltipline.com, where if your school is not registered or listed on that site, you can talk to somebody at your school about having them list their school on the site, because schooltipline.com allows people to report bullying and cyberbullying, whether they're the victim or maybe they know somebody, they heard it in the hallway, or, you know, their friends were talking about somebody being bullied.
And is
so
that
we try and give them options.
School tip line, is that a website or Twitter?
Yes.
Or okay.
No, it's a website. Schooltipline.com.
Okay. And Phoebe, she is Cybercrime Dog, right? On
Phoebe.
Oh, okay.
That's all right.
What is her Twitter handle?
Her Twitter handle is Phoebe Crime Dog. And if you just look up Phoebe Poulin on Facebook, you can find her.
Okay, and that's Phoebe as in Phoebe, right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
And or you can just go to the Halt Abuse KTV site and there are direct links.
Okay.
Or look out.
Well, I think that we know that kids, for instance, are more comfortable reading if they're having trouble reading, that they will read to a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I was involved with that with my Davis and had kids reading to him, and he enjoyed that very much. Why not? Well, of course, Jim is insisting that Davis is texting him every morning.
Yeah.
I've never caught him at it, though.
Yeah.
But
I always say that Phoebe has mad typing skills with her paws. You know, and for the kids last week, there were about 50 of them. I would say 10 of them have made friends with her since my talk last week, which is kind of nice. And they do reach out to her on her Facebook profile, and I'm pretty sure they realize it's me behind the profile, but it's nice to know that they feel more comfortable talking to a dog than talking to a person.
Uh-huh.
Fascinating. So, in your books, what's the status of writing? I know Jane's got the books right in front. Jane, you want to read those again?
True Crime Online is shocking stories of scamming, stalking, murder, and mayhem. So if you are a true crime buff, that is pretty interesting about what can happen online. And then Net Crimes and Misdemeanors, I have the second edition here, and it's outmaneuvering web spammers, stalkers, and con artists. So that's a bigger book. Got lots of details about even things like adoption scams. I thought that caught my eye.
And by the way, Jane, if you don't mind, I want to ask you my famous question is, what is the most surprising thing happening out there for you right now? What's surprising you?
Nothing surprises me.
Okay,
seriously.
Thank you very much. Okay, and you've heard it here first, ladies.
I look and I go, like today they announced that Snapchat, if you use a third-party app to access your Snapchat account, some hackers got in and they're leasing nude photographs, and Snapchat's claim is that, well, if your photos are leaked, it's not our fault. I just read that today. I'm like, oh, great, wonderful. I have to deal with that now.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I mean, one friend of mine, actually a very close friend, said something along these lines, though. I mean, I know that people aren't, I mean, I see a lot of high-end cameras around, but I wonder if people actually take photographs, pictures that you could actually physically show someone these days. But I got to wonder, if like especially Hollywood stars and some of the famous people are so concerned about their privacy, the question I was asked is, why don't they just take private photographs? Why do they put anything online? I mean,
in that case, it wasn't that they put it online for everyone to see. They put it in their private account on iCloud, which was a big mistake, because if you put anything that's in a cloud on the internet, it's going to be broken into. And I really think that sometimes some of these celebrities are as naive as kids and teens, because they really think that they're above anyone else and that nothing's going to happen. And then they get so outraged, you know, now that their new photos are out there. And I'm sitting there going, you know what? Like you said, it's not just take private photos. It's like, go find an old Polaroid camera and some film, take a picture and put it in a safe deposit box. Stop taking it. Stop taking pictures.
Are Polaroids still around? Can you still do that?
You can find them on eBay, I'm sure.
Wow.
I've actually got one.
Oh,
my. Not that I use it.
No, I got you.
Well, yeah, and then you make the point of if you're going to take a picture and the only thing you can do is put it in a safe deposit box.
It's so stupid. And you want to, especially when I do the talks with kids and teens, I tell them, you know, instead of, you know, putting it on Snapchat, on Facebook, on Twitter, or Instagram, or wherever you're going, if you really want to show somebody your assets, take them into a room, show them your assets, and then leave. I said, you shouldn't be doing that, but I'd much rather have you do that than take the pictures of them, have them end up online and spread throughout the whole school.
Mm-hmm. Our sound engineer is laughing. So I think that you made your point. No, that's in a good way, in a good way. So, and that just about wraps it up time-wise for us, I think, for this version of the Social Network Show. Any other contact information for you that you want to spell out to our listeners?
I would say, you know, if people are on Facebook, we have two groups for working to halt online abuse and the Kids and Teen Division, and there are links to those from both of the websites, or just do a search on Facebook if they want to participate in that. And other than the websites, honestly, if anyone feels they're being stalked, harassed, or bullied, you know, come to us for free help. We keep you anonymous. We try it. We can resolve over 70% of the cases we get before involving law enforcement. So give us a try first.
No, okay. That's an interesting statistic. 70% of the cases are resolved before you even have to resort to law enforcement. So if people are concerned about that, that is
If somebody was going to, like, Google you in, you know, if they forget all this, if someone's going to Google you in, what would be the best, what would be the key word for you?
To halt.
I honestly, I don't know.
That works. I don't know. We'll put that in.
I honestly have no clue.
All right. We'll find out.
Most people say that when they fill out the form, you know, the questionnaire, we ask them how they found us, and it's usually a Yahoo or Google search.
Okay.
It's
mm-hmm.
usually the word cyberstalking.
Okay, thank you.
Cyberstalking and working to halt online abuse.
Cool.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Jane. And that is Jane Hitchcock of Working to Halt Online Abuse. And thank you for joining us. Please visit our website if you're not already there, thesocialnetworkshow.com. Click on the blog tab for a quick update and all of our shows. Please have fun and be safe online and off until we welcome you here again.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media, coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on the Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.